St. Joseph Natchez 99.3.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministry. Living Word Ministries of Natchez. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
And let them be touched, God, for the miracle in their life. Father, I pray that you give me clarity of thought and give me precision of speech. Let my tongue be as the pen of a ready writer. The hearts of the hearers be the tablet in which I shall write upon the word of faith. The word of God that brings healing, deliverance, power, and peace and prosperity to all that hear and believe it. We thank you. Father, we thank you for the comfort right now of Sister Mary and her family. Father, we pray right now for the Howard family also, God. Father, we pray, God, that you would give them comfort during this time of loss and bereavement. And Father, after you've done everything you want to do in this service, after you've spoken through me and talked to me and them together, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, the voice of your Holy Spirit, Father, we'll be careful to give you the glory, the praise, the honor, and we'll join it with the many winged seraphim, the many eyed cherubim, the chant declare one to another that you are holy. You're holy, God. You're holy. And your glory fills the earth. And we thank you now. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, we praise you. Amen. Amen. I want to pose the question from the thought, the tag, the title of this message. Is there anyone in the house? Is there anyone in the house?
People are where they are. We don't know what got them in Lodibar. We don't know how they got there. So here he is in Lodibar, a place of no word. And you know you couldn't make it without the word. Imagine if you already got issues and ain't nobody there to lift you up. I'm going to try to get there, y'all. Bear with me. So here he was. He says he was in Lodibar. Now the story here, and I'm going to give the story probably prematurely, but I feel like I need to tell you why he was lame. In chapter 4, you'll find out that there was a battle of Jezreel the day that Mephibosheth lost his father and his grandfather, the king. The same day, his nurse decides that she's going to run and hide him because what they would do, they would kill all of the sons of the king and anybody that would be there to succeed them in the crown, they would kill them so that they couldn't. And so what she thought she was doing was a good thing. So she took him and she ran with him. But in the process of running to try to hide him, she fell down and broke his legs. Somebody, listen to this, who was trying to help you actually hurt you. Somebody who was supposed to protect you broke you. And this was his situation. He was broken from a little boy. The same day that he lost his father and his grandfather, he lost his ability to walk. Isn't that something? How we let people go, they go through stuff and we talk about their lameness and don't know why they're lame. We can see that they can't walk. We can see that they can't do for themselves. We can see that they're hurting. We can see that they're struggling and we talk about it, but we don't know what's the real problem. I'm trying to help somebody. Is anybody being helped today? He was lame on both feet. He was lame. And it was a good thing she was trying to do. But the bad thing happened. But we can't dwell on the bad thing. Because is there anyone in the house today that God can show his kindness to? Now, verse 5 says, and the king said, go fetch him. Now, we see David remembered who he was, and he remembered what he had to do. But then he says, let's retrieve this young man. He said, let's go and get him out. Let's go and fetch him. He says, go and what? Fetch him out of the house of Maker and the son of Amiel from Lodibar. Bring him out of that barren place. Bring him out. Lord have mercy. Thank God for those who will go get him. Yeah. Are you a go-getter? I'm going to go get her. I'm going to go get him. We got to go get people out of low debar. We have to get them out of their dry place. Get them out of their barren place. Get them out of the place of no word and bring them a word and let them know that there got to be some water for you. What is the water? The water is the word that refresh you to get you up, get you out of your mess. And even though he was still lame, but he went got him out of low debar. See, sometimes people will still have their lameness. They'll still have their problem, but you got to get them out of the place of no word and bring them to a place of the word with their lame self. See, you what? You didn't come here whole. All of us at some point came lame. And because we came, I wish I had somebody here. Because somebody fetched us out of low debar. Somebody decided not to leave me in the place of no word. Somebody decided not to leave me in a barren place. A place where I was sad. A place where I was depressed. A place where I was feeling sorry for myself. A place where I didn't think I could do anything for myself. A place where it seemed like wasn't nothing going to happen for me. And I wasn't worried about it no more. I just started to accept my lameness. I started to accept that I had no word. I started to accept people taking advantage of me. I started to accept these things. And so God says, no, I got a Zyber for you. I got somebody to come get you. I wish I had somebody in the house. I got somebody that'll come pick you up. I wish I had a person in here. I got somebody who won't change. See, the word Zyber or Zeba, his name actually means statue. In other words, I need somebody who won't change on me. A statue won't change, will it? I wish I had somebody. I just want to share a little bit with you. I need somebody to come get me that won't change up. Because when you see my lameness, you won't flip-flop on me because I'm lame. When you see I'm in a dry place, you won't flip-flop because I'm dry. When you see me hurting, you won't flip-flop and say, oh, I'm tired of hearing that belly aching. Well, come on and say, man, I need somebody who is a cyber, somebody who's a statue who say that I shall not be moved, that I'm going to show you who I am. I'm going to be Christ-like no matter if you're doing good or if you're doing bad. I'm going to be right there to pick you up and help you out. Do I have any Zybers in the house? Somebody who won't flip-flop on me because I got lameness, because I've been hurt, because I've been defeated, because I'm broke, busted, and disgusted, because I got some bad things that happened in my life. Do I have somebody? Tell somebody, no flip-flopping allowed. You got to stay with this thing. Oh, glory. I'm trying to get there. I'm halfway. Halfway. I want to show you something. David calls Ziba. Some say Ziba, whatever, but I like Ziba. Can I say that? David called him. Now, David is the king. The king is representing this. Here is the, I call it the cameo because it gives you two different, you know, here's the symbolic meaning, basically. The king, God is our king. God is only going to call Ziba to go get him out of low debar. See, you've been flip-flopping too much. And you wonder why God ain't loosed you to do something? Huh? Because you're not Ziba. You're not like a statue. You're not unchanged. You changed because of what everybody, I don't know what they're going to think if I do that. You still bound by the opinion of people. So God can't use you. You still worried about everybody else instead of trying to do the will of God. Oh, I'm going to leave that one alone. Y'all want to say amen. Somebody unchanged. In other words, he didn't have no motives. He had no ulterior motive. He went to do what the king said do. Amen. We got so many, and I'm speaking on a spiritual sense, we got too many Christians that are bipolar Christian. And I'm not talking about a natural diagnosis. Don't get me wrong here. Not a natural diagnosis. I'm talking about spiritually. One day we're the powerhouse for God. And the next day, we weak as water. We don't know what we want to be. One day we want to be a prophet. The next day we want to be an apostle because that's higher. Let me tell you something. Ain't no higher level.
We're all in God. I have a different task than you have. Oh, I wish I had somebody here. And since my task is different, you can't judge me on my task, because the Bible says I can't judge another man's servant. So I can't compare myself to you. Too many of us have what we call, or what I call, comparisonitis. You know, it's kind of like arthritis. It's a crippling effect on your spiritual life. It's called comparisonitis. You start comparing yourself to other folks to see if you're doing what God say. God will have you do something that ain't nobody else doing. God will have you say something that ain't nobody else saying. God will have you preach a word that's unpopular in the time. But let me give you this gospel for your comparisonitis, to get you over the cramps and pains of it. Hallelujah. Oh. I'm really trying to finish, you guys. I'm really trying. So he went and fetched him out of the house. Now he was still unchanged, even though he, look, Lo-Debar was still in him. I'm going to show you how. Can I skip down for a minute? He, in verse 8, you can see that Lo-Debar was still in him, because in verse 8, he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou should look upon such a dead dog as I am?" See, we can go get people out of a place of no word, a barren place, and bring them to the house where the king is, God, amen? And they still, even though they bow themselves and look like they're worshiping, they still don't have the esteem that God wants them to have. They still don't know who they are. They still don't trust God to know his motive. See, Mephibosheth was afraid that David was calling him to kill him, because that's what kings did in that day. David had reigned 17 years before he even did this thing. So David went on about his business. Now, but Mephibosheth, he was afraid. And he said, "What do you want with a dead dog like me?" Amen. I know I'm already dead. See, some of us, we don't trust the king's motive for calling us. We don't trust what God, oh, Lord, have mercy. You don't trust what God called you to do, so you don't do it. You try to figure it out, and God said, "I already worked this out for you. Just follow my path. Follow my plan." We got to learn how to trust the king that his motive is to bless us. When God says do something, do it. It'll bless you. We think that, oh, well, God, he want me to give that money. I can't do that because I got this, and this. I ain't going to give. That's how we feel. But you know what God said? God said, "I'm trying to get you to give so I can bless you, because what you got ain't enough to do nothing with anyway." I just use that as an example. Let me go back up now. So he goes and gets him. And so Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, comes up to David. He fell on his face and did reverence. I told you he knew how to come into place. He ain't forgot, because he was a person of the palace. See, some of us, we ain't forgot how to come to church. We just ain't been. We ain't forgot how to sing, lift our hands, pray. We ain't forgot none of that. We just don't do it. But then when the king called for us, in other words, when it seemed like we're about to go, we want to go to church. Lord, help me. Help me, Holy Ghost. So Mephibosheth, he did reverence unto David, and he said, he called his name. Mephibosheth said, "Behold, thy servant." And he says, look, David had to tell him in verse 7, "Fear not." That's how I know that he expected David to do something to him. See, we can't afford to keep having fear about everything. Why do we glorify the devil in every situation? The devil did this. The devil, you know what? You lying. Some of that's you. Because you cooperate with the devil. The Bible says what? Resist the devil and he shall flee. You run your mouth too much. You're too arrogant. You got too much stuff going on. Amen. And so that gets us in the place where the devil can have place in our life. He said, "Fear not." We got to have faith in God. We got to have faith. What we have to have is trust. That kind of faith. I know we want faith to be able to bring stuff to us. I believe that this is coming to me. I believe that that's coming. But we got to have faith to trust God, period.
And we've forgotten about the simple trust or the simple faith that we're supposed to have, and that is to trust God that he won't fail us. That is to trust God that he won't lie to us. That is to trust that God said what he said, and he sent his word. Come on and say amen. God sent his word to heal us. He sent his word, the Bible says, to prosper the thing whereunto he sent it to. And so he was the thing, you are the thing that God sent his word to prosper. And so it's no excuse for you if you ain't prospering, because God sent a word just for you. God sent a word just for you to prosper. But God sent a word for you to get up this morning. He sent a word for you to be able to move your limbs. I wish I had somebody. See, we think that God only is speaking in the Bible. He speaks a word every morning to you to get yourself up, because you can't wake yourself up. Your alarm clock can't wake you up. You can't give yourself breath. You can't do any of that, but God has to do it. God can take your mind, but he doesn't. He gives you your right mind. I wish I had somebody here. We need to know that it's the word of God. The Bible says that through all of that, through the word of God, everything consists that does exist. And so it is his word that keeps us rolling. It's his word that keeps the stars where they are and keeps the sun where it is, and the earth stays the distance that it does and don't get too close so that we won't burn up. It is God's word that does that. And if his word has done it from day one, we need to trust that his word can keep doing it in our life. We need to know that God's word, I don't care how old you are, it is God's word that's keeping us. It is God's word that is delivering and helping us. Come on and say amen now. So David said, don't fear. He said, but I surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake, and I will restore. Look at this. Not only did he remember, and not only did he retrieve, but then he began to restore. We need to know that restoration is important. We need to know that when we get restored, the Bible says for us, this is what it says in Galatians 6, right? Galatians 6 and 1 says that we that are spiritual, he says, brethren, if there be any overtaken in fault, he said, any overtaken in fault, ye that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. We don't go meekness. We don't have no meekness. We come because we think meekness is weakness, but really meekness is having power under control. I wish I had somebody. And so he said, if there's anyone that needs to be restored, you need to go in a meek manner and try to restore them. He said, because you need to consider yourself. What does that mean? I need to think about what I would want somebody to do for me if I was in this situation. Would I want somebody to go call somebody on the telephone and talk about what you just had to do to help me? No. Would I want somebody to go and call somebody and tell them, oh girl, they're in bad shape, and you trying to act like you calling the prayer line, but you calling the gossip line because you want to tell all their business? Come on and say, man, we got to restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, and we need to learn how to restore. How would you want somebody to handle you? Would you want them to come and talk to you with sense? Would you want them to come and talk to you with a spirit of grace, a spirit of love? Amen. We need to learn how to go to people and talk to them and let them know that, yeah, you know, I don't agree with what's going on in your life, what you're doing, how you're doing, but you know, you, God is still working on you, and you need to let him work. Don't try to get pompous and pious in your wrong, but you need to say, I'm humbling myself while I'm wrong. Come on and say, man, y'all looking at me strange. Y'all playing the mannequin challenge with me? Don't do that. Come on and say, man, we need to learn how to restore people in the spirit of meekness. People are our business. That, you know, we try to say, I'm mind my own business, but people is your business once you become a person of God, once you become a child of God, because every one of us are in the family of God, and I need to make sure my family is right, my family members are doing good. I need to make sure they have what they're supposed to, and they're in a position to be blessed like they're supposed to be positioned. I wish I had somebody in the house that realized what David was trying to do. David was trying to restore this man. He said, is there anyone in the house? David said, I don't care who it is. I don't care how many of them it is. I just need to know who I can bless. Are you looking for somebody to bless? The Bible says this about the Lord, that the eyes of the Lord, they run to and fro the earth, seeking one that he can prove himself strong to. In other words, God is looking for somebody that he can roll his sleeves up and flex his muscles and show you how strong he is, that he's stronger than what you're going through. He's stronger than the people that lied on you. He's stronger than the devil that's before you. He's bigger than the mountain that you might face. I wish I had somebody. He's more powerful than the sickness that you feel. Oh, come on and shout amen in here. But when I look at what he says, David said, I want to bless you. I want to restore everything you had in the house. And then Mephibosheth said, even after David told him what he wanted to do, Mephibosheth said, I'm just a dead dog. That's how some of
of us are. We let our heart condemn us after we hear what God wants to do for us, that we are the apple of his eye, that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that God wants to heal you, and we still say, I hope so. Stop saying that mess and say, I know you're right, that God is not a doctor, that he have to practice medicine, but my God is a healer, and he sent his word to heal me. Do I have anybody in the house? Come on and shout glory. He wanted to restore him. Even after he found out what David's motive was, he still had doubts. That's just like so many of us. When we know God wants to bless us, God said, I give you the kingdom. And we still say, God, I hope you will. And God said, I know I will if you just trust me. I wish I had a few people that said, when I trust him, when I can't trace him, come on and shout glory and give God some praise. I'm trying to get out of here, y'all. If y'all push me a little bit, I might let you go home. Preach up in here. I'm preaching like a grown man should. Look what it says here. He said, then the king told Ziba, he said, because he won't believe me, he said, Ziba, go tell everybody that if they're on his land, that it belongs to him now. See what God did? He said, since he won't believe me, let me tell the statue, let me tell the one that won't change, to go out and help him out, because he's still in his lameness, because he's still in doubt, because he's still in fear. So God will hook you up with somebody that believe what the king said and ain't afraid to go do the work. Come on and shout glory. Come on, shout glory. And thank God for Ziba. I came as Ziba this morning. I came to get you out of low D-bar. I came in the pulpit to pull you out of the pit. I wish I had somebody that said, I'm ready to go today. David's house. Oh, come on and give God praise. But I'm going to finish this message. The Bible says that he told him, you'll eat in my house. But not only am I going to give you all the land that's been taken away, but I'm going to call you to my house and you're going to eat from my table. Isn't that a blessing? That even though he gave him land, he didn't have to work the land, but he can eat from the king's table. What is God showing us here? God said, I'll bless you, but you ain't got to work for it. I bless you, and you ain't got to work for your food. I bless you, and it's going to be an effortless blessing. I wish I had somebody. I know you thought you had to do all of that. They had you running around the trees. They had you going up and down the road. But God said, I was going to bless you anyway. I wish I had somebody. God already knows where you are. He already has a blessing for you. All you got to do is wait. The Bible said, let patience have her perfect work. Patience is a her. Why is patience a her? Because faith is a him. Abraham, the father of faith. Sarah is the mother of patience. When faith and patience, when they come together, they produce a promise. And the promise is Isaac, whose name means laughter. So God will make you laugh. He'll give you a blessing that when you look at your enemies, you can say, ha, ha, ha. Didn't God do it? Ha, ha, ha. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Say yes in here. I'm so glad that David told Ziba, because Mephibosheth felt sorry for himself. We got to stop feeling sorry for ourselves. Yes, you're lame. Yes, you was in a place, a barren place, a place of no word. But Ziba came to get you. Now come on to the king's house. Let the king bless you. I wish I had somebody. Now David had with him mighty men of valor that ate with him every morning. People who could walk, who can leap and jump. But Mephibosheth, sitting in his wheelchair, they looked at him and probably said, where he think he's going? Who is this lame butt? I wish I had somebody. But when he came to the king's table, the Bible don't say it, but I can use my holy imagination that when he rolled up in his wheelchair, I wish I had somebody. And he rolled up under the king's table. They couldn't tell. if he was lame. Let me tell you something. When you get to the king's table, don't nobody know your problem but you, so you can still eat. The Bible says he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Do I have anybody that say, I'm at the table? You don't know what I've been through, but I'm at the table. You don't know how I've been lied on, but I'm at the table. You don't know what I lost, but I'm at the table. Come on and shout yes. Come on and give him glory. Won't God do it? Won't he make your enemies your footstool? Won't he work it out? Why are you trying to figure it out? God already worked it out. Say yes. Put your feet under the king's table. I wish I had somebody. I don't care if your legs are broken. I don't care what you've been through. But when I get to the king's table, you can't tell me that I can't eat here. I got a right to be here. I'm a royalty. Even though I'm lost, I lost my ability to walk. I'm still royalty. It don't change who I am. I wish I had somebody. Say, I got a right to be here. It doesn't matter what I've been through. I'm royalty. Peter said, I'm a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Somebody say yes and say yes. Give God praise. Slap high five and say, won't he do it? Say, won't he do it? Is there anybody in the house that God can show kindness to? Say yes. Say yes. Shout glory. Hallelujah. Since I laid my burden down, anybody feel better? So much better. Say yeah. Give him praise. Hallelujah. He's all right. I said he's all right. Let me tell you about the covenant. Covenant between Jonathan and David is representative of the covenant that was cut between God the Father and God the Son. The covenant of blood. I wish I had somebody. When Jesus died, now God says, is there anybody after the order of Jesus, the Son of the King? I wish I had somebody that I can show my kindness. I said, yeah, there is. There's Alan Nagadish. Somebody say yes. There's Travis over there. Somebody say yes. There's Lachette over there. Say yes. There's Cheryl over there. Is there anybody? There's Renee over there. Say yeah. Is there anybody in the house? I'm trying to quit, but I want to go crazy because I'm in the house. Say yeah. I'm going to try to stop. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God for the covenant of Jesus that can't be changed. He made a deal for me that if I came and believe on him, that I have everlasting life. Somebody say yes. Glory be to God. And better yet, he said, if I die in him, I'll raise up with him. One of these days, I'll be in Lodibar, but he'll send his angel to pick me up. Somebody say yes and give him praise. Come on, tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I may not know three things. I may not know two things. But one thing I know, I know he's all right. Yes, he is. Is the Lord all right? Say yeah. Shout glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, I got victory today. Anybody got victory? I got victory. And while we're trying to figure it out,